sahanavavatu, sahanaum bhunaktu, sahaviryankaravavahai, tejasvinavaditamastomavidvishavahai. Om shanti shanti shanti. Om jaya shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shri advaita gadadhara shiva sari gaura bhakta vrinda hare krishna 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 hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 19. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructs Srila Rupa Goswami. Verses 238 to 257. Lord Chaitanya returns to Varanasi. 219, 238 to 243. The next morning, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arose and prepared to leave for Varanasi, Banaras, Srila Rupa Goswami submitted the following statement at the Lord's. Haribab. Something gets in your nose and just. Oh, yeah. He was saying seven. It's still there a little bit. Okay. This works on sneezes. If you give me permission, I shall go with your lordship. It is not possible for me to tolerate the waves of separation. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, your duty is to carry out my order. You have come near Vrindavan. Now you should go there. Later you can go from Vrindavan to Jagannath Puri through Bengal, go to Desh. There you will meet me again. After embracing Rupa Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu got into a boat. Rupa Goswami fainted and fell down on the spot. The Brahmin from Deccan took Rupa Goswami to his home, and thereafter the two brothers, Srila Rupa Goswami and Anupam, departed for Vrindavan.
Was Anupam present when Lord Chaitanya talked to Goswami?
There's a good chance, because it says both were there, but this is the next morning, so he might have been there, he might not have. It doesn't say specifically. Because in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's just giving the, you know, the most important elements. Because so many details that will already be in the you know Chaitanya Bhagavat and Chaitanya Mangal like this. So this is giving, you know, like pointing out what the essential points are. You have all the pastime, all the detail, but this will be like the essential points, like that. So it's not meant to be so detailed. It's bringing out the important things, and so that's why some things, even though they've been explained, they'll be said again. And then we see the most essential is these main conversations between Lord Chaitanya and his devotees. So those make up the core, because then it's the instructions of Lord Chaitanya. As Lord Chaitanya said here, you know, carrying out your duties to carry out my orders. So that aspect becomes the prominent. That's why it's the most important of all the literatures. The others tell nicely the pastimes. But then in here it establishes what is our duties, what we should do, things like that. 219, 244 to 256. After walking and walking, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu finally arrived at Varanasi, where he met Chandrasekhara, who was coming out of the city. In a dream, Chandrasekhara had seen that Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had come to his home. Therefore, in the morning, Chandrasekhara went outside the city to receive the Lord. While Chandrasekhara was waiting outside the city, he suddenly saw Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arrive, and he fell down at the Lord's feet. Being very happy, he took the Lord to his home. Tapan Misra also heard news of the Lord's arrival in Varanasi, and he went to Chandrasekhara's house to meet him. After talking, he invited the Lord to take lunch at his place. Tapan Misra took Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his house and gave him lunch. Chandrasekhar invited Balabhadra Bhattacharya to take lunch at his home. After offering lunch to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Tapan Misra begged a favor from the Lord and requested him to award him mercy. Tapan Misra said, "As long as your lordship stays in Varanasi, please do not accept an invitation from anyone but me." It was known to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he would remain there only 5 or 7 days. He would not accept any invitation that involved Mayavadi sannyasis. With this understanding, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu agreed to accept lunch at the place of Tapan Misra. The Lord made his residence at the home of Chandrasekhar. Right, so you see, staying at one place and eating at the other, and that it's not an uncommon because you have different places that they want to host. So we see also when Srila Prabhupada first came here, when we didn't have anything here, then he would stay at Sridhar Maharaj's mat, but he would go and spend the day and that at the Devananda Gaudiya Math. And then he'd go back in the evening to the other. So that way he would spend time with one god brother and then the day with the other god brother. The Maharashtrian Brahmana came and the Lord met him. Out of affection, the Lord bestowed his mercy upon him. Hearing that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had come, all the resident, respectable members of the Brahmana and Kshatriya communities came to see him. Much mercy was thus bestowed upon Sri Rupa Goswami, and I have briefly described all these topics. Whoever hears this narration with faith and love certainly develops love of God at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Praying at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Sri Raghunath, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishnadas, narrate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, following in their footsteps. Conclusion. Supreme knowledge consists of understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead and our relationship with Him and acting according to that relationship. 146 purport. There is a certain pattern of behavior prescribed for those actually trying to become perfect. The culprit mind is always suspicious. Therefore, our dealings should always be straightforward and approved by Vedic authorities. 159 purport. In this age, men may profess a religion, but they actually do not follow the principles. Instead, they commit all kinds of sins. 146 purport. One is misled by unwanted creepers and is victimized. He cannot make progress back to Godhead. Rather, he remains within the material world and engages in activities having nothing to do with pure devotional service. 161 purport. The devotee of Lord Krishna has no desire other than serving Krishna. 149 purport. The criterion is that a devotee must know that Krishna, what Krishna wants him to do. This understanding can be achieved through the medium of a spiritual master who is a bona fide representative of Krishna. 167 purport. One has to develop his devotional service under the directions of a pure devotee. The spiritual master, and in accordance with the Vedic directions given in the Pancharatra and Bhagavat systems. 169 purport. The word Veda means knowledge. Supreme knowledge consists of understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead and our relationship with Him and acting according to that relationship. Action in accordance with Vedic principles is called religion. Religion means following the orders of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right, so, since the process is the living entity is trying to elevate themselves to love of Godhead, then you have to follow that process that's given. Since it's love for Krishna, then it has to follow a path that those who have that love for Krishna are giving. Right? So one can't make up one's own. Like the culprit mind is always suspicious, right? So therefore we try to make up our own systems. We have to be very, very careful. So that which is authorized by the Lord and the Acharyas, that's the system that will get you back to Godhead. You want to stay in the material world? Yes, there's so many things you can do. But if you want to go back to Godhead, it's a very specific path. Does that make sense? You know, so to excel in a certain area of interest, then people may do things and you know, adjust their situation, their lifestyle, and everything to accommodate that. Let's say, like, you know, the student then has finished their secondary education. They want to go on for tertiary. Now that tertiary education may be anywhere in the world. But you go there and you live a lifestyle. You live in some dormitory or somebody's place or rent a place, you know, something like that, you know. And the lifestyle may be, but it's something that you'll gain what you're looking for. So one has to be understand that if you want something, then you have to be willing to put in the effort to follow the path that's been demarcated. You know, so here, then Lord Chaitanya has spoken to Rupa Goswami, the path of pure devotion. And so the path that Rupa Goswami gives, that's the path. Other things are not the path. So what he's given and how he's showing us how to practice, and then the acharya is following him, then that's what we do. Then it's very sure, it's very solid. Otherwise, the mind has all kinds of ideas of, you know, other better things to do. Yeah? Chapter 20. The Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructs Sanatana Goswami in the science of the absolute truth. Pratigya. Only through the revealed scriptures can all conditioned souls attain knowledge, right? So it's not other ways. Someone may say that, no, these things don't work for us, you know, we're not from this place, we're not this and that. But the point is if we're looking at that, who's from here? Everybody's from the spiritual world. Everybody is an energy of Krishna, servant of Krishna. So to be here, it's a false identity. And so therefore, then you have to follow the revealed scriptures to understand how to actually gain knowledge. Other knowledge, yes, you can observe things. And then according to your senses, then you can feel, yes, I have observed. And because I'm so intelligent, I know everything. And how I then interpret it, then that becomes real knowledge. But then we see with time, someone else comes along and shows that either they take it further or show that there was some mistake in one's observation. So it doesn't, you can't, with pride we say, yes, I can gain this knowledge or I establish knowledge. But in reality, it can only be obtained from the revealed scriptures.
Right? So, knowledge is supposed to bring practical results.
Yes.
It's not just information.
Yes, yes.
So in other words, there has to be transformation, purification, and then rati.
Yes.
So if that doesn't come about, your knowledge is worth nothing.
No.
Or
yes. Means that the process, unless it's given by the acharyas, it won't do what you said there. It will not purify, it will not elevate, it will not give, understanding and taste like that. So you see that you're preaching nicely, then you have a good service attitude to the Vaishnavas of that, and then you get a taste. And you'll see that those, if you look at it, those who, you know, we see nicely have a taste in all that, and it's respected. You see, one common point of them is they all know how to worship Vaishnavas. They all respect Vaishnavas. And then you see, they're all very committed to preaching, the Jiva Doya. So all the three go together. So if the process is not doing that, then, you know, if it's just making you comfortable, if the only thing is, oh, now I feel relaxed in Krishna consciousness, which is a good thing. But if that's the only benefit you're getting, it's not quite enough. Because otherwise being relaxed, okay, but what about the point of, you know, moving forward? You know, it probably says, there's a fire in the house, you know, you have to do something about it. Not just, you know, you put on your wool outfit so you're more comfortable that the heat doesn't bother you. You know, one has to make that endeavor. And you can actually see the results. You should be able to analyze.
Sometimes the devotees, they have the initial attraction and they make the endeavor to step inside the circle, but then they expect you to take them away. Okay, take me there.
Yes, no, I mean, the take them, then they should, then you have to be submissive. I mean, if they're working on the cat principle, they have to be submissive. Right? Means the kitten isn't, you know, wiggling around or doing anything. It's just sitting there like, you know, like this, and then they're being taken. You know? Like that.
So
Or if it's the others, you know, the harlot, yeah, the monkey and all this and that, but then, you know, you have to hold on and you will get there, but you have to grab onto the right person. So we use that combination. It's that we're pulling the rope, but if you don't hold on.
That's right. So you have the cat and the kitten. The kitten just surrenders.
Right.
The baby monkey grabs onto the mother, otherwise falls off.
Right.
And then you got the guy in the well.
Yes.
Who's been given the rope.
Yes.
And he could go, all right, pull.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
So if the guy is pulling, you say, I'm not going to do it on my own. You've got to also play your part.
If he can do also, but if not, at least he said, you know, tied around his waist or that. You know, it means he's got to try to keep from bouncing off the wall. You know, and don't tie it around your neck. Yeah. Yes, but the point is it's that combination of pulling and holding on. So you have to do both. But you have to hold on, because others that, oh no, you take me, is that they're not necessarily doing anything, because the kitten does nothing. It's not even holding on. It's just being submissive. But in the example of the well, they're making the effort to hold on. So they have the instructions, they hold on to those instructions. You don't make up your own instructions and come up with that and, you know, you do the mental spec, oh, probably it means this, it means that, and, you know, just to make it more comfortable for us in our conditioned state when we're not from here. You know, we're arguing over, you know, East and West when we actually come from the spiritual world. So that argument is actually quite moot. It doesn't have any real meaning. You can say, yes, you have to deal with conditioning, but then you have to know what conditioning is. You know, being a Malecha Yavana is not exactly what you call a ideal basis to work with. You have to work with what are the qualities within that. Do they, you know, is it intellectual, is it administrative, is it economic, is it assisting others? You know, how do you situate yourself, you know, according to your ashram? You know, what kind of services within those you can do? That you have to look at, not that, oh, we're not from here. Because say what you want, it's like people go out, get in their cars, go to work. Now they sit at home. They could say, we're Westerners, you know, we're Californians. We don't sit at home, we drive in cars, you know, because they have everything is car. You want to get, you know, just something from the corner store, you have to get in the car. You can't walk to a corner store. There's no such thing.
Not just any car, huge four-wheel drive.
Yeah, yeah, of course. That's it. If you want to get technical, then, you know, like that. So, you know, with the double cabin, you know. Yeah. So then there's the your lifestyle is being changed by the modes of nature. And then we're saying, no, we're Western. It's being changed at every moment. You know? So you can't hold on to these upadis. You have to see is, yes, I have to engage according to my nature, whatever it is, then that's done. But otherwise, if we don't, if it's not revealed by Scripture, then it's not going to get you anywhere. You may feel comfortable, you know, like the pig feels comfortable in his, you know, little, you know, how you say, little pen and his mud and everything. Like when Narad Muni came to Indra, Indra was quite comfortable. He's saying, what's the problem? I'm good. But he's not from there. So you can say, okay, you know, this and that, I'm a pig. No, but you're not from here. We have to remember that. That, if that's not in the equation, then you don't even have, you're not even discussing spiritual life. You're not discussing self-realization. You're just discussing your own comfort, your own attachments, your own preferences. So you're just starting with yourself, and you're not taking what is the process, how I fit into it. You're taking, this is me, and as I am, then that has to be, I have to, you know. Like Arjuna went to the heavenly planets in his own body, so that, you know, that kind of arrangement should be made. So you might get a little embarrassed when you get there. So. Yeah. Adhyaya Prakashika. The following summary of this chapter is given by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Amrita Pravaha Vasya. When Srila Sanatana Goswami was imprisoned by Nawab Hussein Shah, he received news from Rupa Goswami that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had gone to Mathura. Sanatana Goswami therefore satisfied the superintendent of the jail by sweet solicitations and bribery. Right, so it's not just even money, you have to act nice. you know, because otherwise he might take the money and still not let you out, you know. After giving the jailer 7,000 gold coins, Sanatana Goswami was released. He then crossed the Ganges and fled. One of his servants, Ishana, followed him, carrying 8 gold coins. Sanatana Goswami, his servant, then spent the night in a small hotel on the way to Benares. The hotel owner knew that Sanatana Goswami and his servant had 8 gold coins and decided to kill them and take the money. Sounds like Hotel California. Making plans in this way, the hotel owner received them as honorable guests. Sanatana Goswami, however, asked his servant how much money he had, and taking 7 of the gold coins, Sanatana Goswami offered them to the hotel owner. Thus the owner helped them cross the hilly track and proceed towards Varanasi. On the way, Sanatana Goswami met his brother-in-law, Srikanta, at Hajipura, and Srikanta helped him after he had heard about Sanatana's troubles. Thus, Sanatana Goswami finally arrived at Varanasi and stood before the door of Chandrasekhar. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called him in and ordered him to change his dress so that he would look like a gentleman. Right? So it's about dressing like a gentleman. It means, what would a gentleman do in a particular situation? That's what we're talking about here. You know? So it's not about this or that, it's about being a gentleman. Because then that's, you know, probably meant dress to please others, eat to please yourself. So, what others are you pleasing? Gentlemen. Why would you want to please anybody else? For his garment, he used an old cloth of Tapan Misra's. Later, he exchanged his valuable blanket for a torn quilt. At this time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased with him, right? So you can say, but he used an old cloth and a valuable blanket. How does he look like a gentleman? Because a gentleman, as a renunciate, would look like this. You know, if he was doing something else, he'd look different, but he's doing this. So that's how every gentleman see someone like that. They go, okay, here's a proper renunciate. At this time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased with him. And thus, Sri Sanatana Goswami received knowledge of the absolute truth from the Lord himself. It's interesting, I was hearing lecture of Prabhupada. He mentioned that the gold coins then would have been 2.5 ounces. So an ounce is 28 grams.
Wait.
Isn't it?
I thought it's pretty sweet.
How much is it?
28.
Oh yeah, maybe America and Europe it's not exactly.
Yeah, it could be. I'm talking to American. So I think the lecture was there, so he's talking about still that's what do you call it?
2 ounces.
Yeah, but and a half.
Mm-hmm. Wow, this is like 75 grams.
Yeah, so it's not one of these little dinky coins. It's like these ones that we see the pirates with, you know. You know, a proper doubloon.
18,
22,
or 24
carat? Or carat?
Yeah.
No, we're talking.
24. Usually in India they use 22 carat.
22 carat for gold coin.
That's what usually.
That's what they're using now. Then it might have been 24, but even 22. It's just that it stays together better.
Yeah.
24 is soft.
Yeah. So they prefer the guinea. I mean, if you want something impure, they can do it, but. But still, that's not bad. Because when you say it's 3,000 a gram or whatever it is, that means in 22.
I was thinking of how much you gave the jailkeeper?
7,000. Means 10,000 were there, yep. And I guess he worked it out, you know, that 7,000 would do it.
I'm imagining the trunk, and that's where you can trunk.
Yeah.
Heavy.
Well, he needed 2 boats, and I doubt we're talking about these little, like a kayak that one guy's in or something. We're talking about, you know, proper boats. Yeah, because they're big. They're not small coins. Yeah. But then that was just a normal gold coin, you know. And so they had from that down to the cordies, the seashells.
Yeah.
So it was a very wide range.
So the king comes back from the battle, the jailkeeper is gone, but now he's got this huge mansion with servants.
Yeah, that's his problem. So not to go so much that way. He just knows he'll take the money. Then what he does with it, you know, then he may have to, you know, relocate himself. First, they discuss the constitutional position of the living entities. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained to Sanatana Goswami how the living entity is one of Lord Krishna's energies. After this, the Lord explained the way of devotional service. While discussing the absolute truth, Sri Krishna, the Lord analyzed Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. Right, so you have the living entity as one of the energies, and then devotional service, right? So then what's his natural position? Because you're establishing the constitutional position, so that means you have to establish also what one does in that position of service and the result. While discussing the absolute truth, Sri Krishna, the Lord analyzed Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan, as well as the expansions of the Lord called Swayam Rupa, Tad Ekatma, and Avesha, which are divided into various branches known as Vaibhava and Prabhava. Thus the Lord described the many forms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He also described the incarnations of God within the material world. Incarnations such as the Purusha avatars, Manvantara avatars, Guna avatars, and Shaktivesha avatars. The Lord also discussed the division of Krishna's different ages, such as Balya, Pauganda, and the different pastimes of the different ages. He explained how Krishna attained his permanent form when he reached youth. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained and described everything to Sanatana Goswami. So one might ask, why the forms like that? But the point is, as is pointed out, is that the Sandini is manifesting Krishna's forms and the devotees' forms and the Dham and everything like that. So that'll all be part of that Sambandhyam. You know, what form, what mood, what's that? So it's not just Sambandhi, it doesn't mean it has to be dry. You know, it's all wonderful things, but it's just this aspect, all the wide range of what's in Sambandha, right? So, yes?
Also, yesterday we discussed Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and then, because it is mentioned that Rupa Goswami wrote this, but I think they cooperated on many subjects, because whatever is mentioned here, Sanatana Goswami uses that in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, but in Lagu Bhagavatamrita, Rupa Goswami actually established all the tattva in all the avatars and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes Sanatana Goswami explains Prayojana mainly in the context of Sambandha and Abhidhaya.
Yes, that'll be the difference.
Yeah.
It's the context in which it's done. So with Rupa, it'll be that those aspects, but how that applies to your application and service. While Sanatana Goswami, it applies to how this is your position, this is what should be done. This is your duty. With that. So there, it's all connected, because as Prabhupada points out, is that on the spiritual platform, then in the spiritual world, they don't make distinctions between the energies. They just perform the pastimes. Because it doesn't matter what energy you're from. Like that, is that you take part in serving Krishna. And everyone has their position, what they do, and Yoga Maya is arranging. So there'll be a suitable form, that Krishna's form, you know, the gopis' forms, the maidservants' forms, the cows' forms, everything, it's all matches, you know, it's all the same. It's not that, you know, the internal potency, they're always bigger, and the jivas are always smaller, you know. You know, it's a big problem for the gopis. They're trying to go out to see Krishna, and all these mandris always get caught in their feet, you know, like that. You know, but, you know, what to do? They're so small, you gotta take care of them. No, everybody's the same, has the same matching proportion. And so you don't have to worry about that. So for us, they're there so that we understand the position. Otherwise, we may tend to, you know, speculate and come up with something weird. So this way, then, it's established what they are and everything like that. Shloka Anusharana, summary of verses. Verses 1 to 45, Srila Sanatana Goswami makes his way to Varanasi. 46 to 93, a lesson in detachment. 94-148, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructs Srila Sanatana Goswami. 149-406, Sri Krishna and his expansions. Slightly bigger. I mean, it's like 250 just in that second one. Verses 1-45, Srila Sanatana Goswami makes his way to Varanasi. 2:20-1-3. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who has unlimited wonderful opulences. By his mercy, even a person born as the lowest of men can spread the science of devotional service. All glories to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All glories to Nityananda Prabhu. All glories to Advaita Acharya. And all glories to all the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. While Sanatana Goswami was imprisoned in Bengal, a letter arrived from Srila Rupa Goswami, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur informs us that this letter from Rupa Goswami to Sanatana Goswami is mentioned by the annotator of the Udbhata Chandrika. Srila Rupa Goswami wrote a note to Sanatana Goswami from Bakla. This note indicated that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was coming to Mathura, and it stated, Yadupate kva gata Mathurapuri, Ragupate kva gatotara koshala, iti vichintya kurushva mana stiram nasad idam jagat it yavadharaya. Where has the Mathurapuri of Yadupati gone? Where has the northern Kosala of Ragupati gone? By reflection, make the mind steady, thinking, this universe is not eternal. 2:20-6. When Sanatana Goswami received this note from Rupa Goswami, he became very pleased. He immediately went to the jail superintendent, who was a meat eater, and spoke as follows. Sanatana Goswami told the Muslim jailkeeper, Dear sir, you are a saintly person and are very fortunate. You have full knowledge of the revealed scriptures such as the Quran and similar books. If one releases a conditioned soul or imprisoned person according to religious principles, he himself is also released from material bondage by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada. It appears from this statement that Sanatana Goswami, who was formerly a minister of the Nawab, was trying to cheat the Muslim superintendent. The jail superintendent had only an ordinary education, or practically no education, and he was certainly not supposed to be very advanced in spiritual knowledge. But just to satisfy him, Sanatana Goswami praised him as a very learned scholar of the scriptures. The jailkeeper could not deny that he was a learned scholar, because when one is elevated to an exalted position, one thinks oneself fit for that position. Right? So if you say he was this and that, then you think, yes, you know, why not? Sanatana Goswami was correctly explaining the effects of spiritual activity, and the jailkeeper connected his statement with his release from jail. Right? So he made from material bondage like that to the, you know, so he's connecting, you know, he may not be educated, but he'll be clever, right? Because you have to be a jailkeeper. So he can understand, oh, you're talking about. There are innumerable conditioned souls rotting in the material world, imprisoned by Maya under the spell of sense gratification. The living entity is so entranced by the spell of Maya that in conditioned life, even a pig feels satisfied. There are two kinds of covering powers exhibited by Maya. One is called Prakshepatmika, and the other is called Avaranatmika. When one is determined to get out of material bondage, the Prakshepatmika Shakti, the spell of diversion, impels one to remain in conditioned life, fully satisfied by sense gratification. Due to the other power, Avaranatmika, a conditioned soul feels satisfied even if he is rotting in the body of a pig or a worm in stool. To release a conditioned soul from material bondage is very difficult because the spell of Maya is so strong. Even when the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself descends to deliver conditioned souls, asking them to surrender unto him, the conditioned souls do not agree to the Lord's proposal. Therefore, Sri Sanatana Goswami said, somehow or another, if one helps another gain release from the bondage of Maya, he is certainly recognized immediately by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. End quote. As the Lord states in the Bhagavad Gita, 1869, Nacha tasman manusheshu kashchin me priya kritama bhavita nacha me tasmad anyath priyataro bhuvi. The greatest service one can render to the Lord is to try to infuse devotional service into the heart of the conditioned soul, so that the conditioned soul may be released from conditioned life. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has said that a Vaishnava is recognized by his preaching work, that is, by convincing the conditioned soul about his eternal position, which is explained here as Nija Dharma. It is the living entity's eternal position to serve the Lord. Therefore, to help one get released from material bondage is to awaken one to the dormant understanding that he is an eternal servant of Krishna. Jivara Surupoi Krishner Nityadas. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhyalila 20.108. This will be further explained by the Lord himself, the Sanatana Goswami. So, like we were discussing this morning, that's the mission, you can say, of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is somehow or another convince the living entities that they're servants of Krishna. What's their actual position? So that's actually what preaching is about. So then what it takes to bring that out, then that's where you start. Right? So we see, you know, Srila Prabhupada talk about the living entity, duties, how he's conscious in the body, how the world, you know, and his body works nicely. So why does the universe work, body of that work, unless there's the Supreme? You're getting the benefits, maintaining yourself, so therefore you have to then offer that respect to, or that gratefulness to the Supreme. And this way, you know, you make that connection. 227-35. Sanatana Goswami continued, previously I have done much for you. Now I am in difficulty. Please return my goodwill by releasing me. Here are 5,000 gold coins. Please accept them. By releasing me, you will receive the results of pious activities and gain material profit as well. Thus you will profit in two ways simultaneously. In this way, Sanatana Goswami convinced the jail keeper, who replied, please hear me, my dear sir. I am willing to release you, but I am afraid of the government. Sanatana Goswami replied, there is no danger. The Nawab has gone to the south. If he returns, tell him that Sanatana went to pass stool near the bank of the Ganges, and that as soon as he saw the Ganges, he jumped in. Tell him, I looked for him for a long time, but I could not find any trace of him. He jumped in with his shackles, and therefore he has drowned and washed away by the waves. End quote. There is no reason for you to be afraid, for I shall not remain in this country. So, it's, you know, if someone finds him now, you can say, okay. But if he's not around, then he's not known, so maybe it's true.
He says he's going to Mecca or something?
Yes.
That's what he may tell this guy.
Yeah.
You don't tell that to the Nawab. Yeah. I shall become a mendicant and go to the holy city of Mecca. So, because they're living as Muslims, right? So then, Sanatana Goswami could see that the mind of the meat eater was still not satisfied. He then stacked 7,000 gold coins before him. And I raise you two. Yeah. So he offered five, you know, half. Then, you know, he was impressed, but, okay. When the meat eater saw the coins, he was attracted to them. He then agreed, and that night he cut Sanatana's shackles and let him cross the Ganges. In this way, Sanatana Goswami was released. However, he was not able to walk along the path of the fortress. Walking day and night, he finally arrived at the hilly tract of land known as Patarda. After reaching Patarda, he met a landholder and submissively requested him to get him across that hilly tract of land. A man who was experienced in palmistry was at that time staying with the landlord. Knowing about Sanatana, he whispered the following in the landlord's ear. The palmist said, this man, Sanatana, possesses 8 gold coins. Hearing this, the landlord was very pleased and spoke the following to Sanatana Goswami. The landlord said, I shall get you across that hilly tract at night with my own men. Now just cook for yourself and take your lunch. Saying this, the landlord offered Sanatana grain to cook. Sanatana then went to the riverside and took his bath. Because Sanatana had been fasting for 2 days, he cooked the food and ate it. However, Having formerly been a minister of the Nawab, he began to contemplate the situation. As a former minister for the Nawab, Sanatan could certainly understand diplomacy. He therefore thought, why is this landlord offering me such respect? Thinking in this way, he questioned his servant, whose name was Ishana. Sanatan asked his servant, Ishana, I think you have some valuable things with you. Ishana replied, yes, I have 7 gold coins. Hearing this, Sanatan Goswami chastised his servant, saying, why have you brought this death knell with you? Thereupon, Sanatan Goswami took the 7 gold coins in his hands and went to the landlord. Holding the gold coins before him, he spoke as follows, I have these 7 gold coins with me. Please accept them. And from a religious point of view, please get me across that hilly tract of land. So he satisfied him there. And then he brings in, you know, then that devotional benefit. Because some people, just on that's not enough. So you both come together, then you're doing it. The service is done. Right? I am a prisoner of the government, and I cannot go along the way of the ramparts. It will be very pious of you to take this money and kindly get me across this hilly tract of land, right? Because you'll have the normal route where it will go, but the soldiers are there. You have to go through the mountains and all that. And so that would be a difficult thing. Smiling, the landlord said, before you offered them, I already knew that there were 8 gold coins in your servant's possession. On this very night, I would have killed you and taken your coins. It is very good that you have voluntarily offered them to me. I am now relieved from such a sinful activity. I am very satisfied with your behavior. I shall not accept these gold coins, but I shall get you across the hilly tract of land simply to perform a pious activity. Sanatana Goswami replied, if you do not accept these coins, someone else will kill me for them. It is better that you save me from the danger by accepting the coins. After this settlement was made, the landlord gave Sanatana Goswami 4 watchmen to accompany him. They went through the forest path for the whole night and thus brought him over the hilly tract of land. After crossing the hills, Sanatana Goswami told his servant, Ishana, I think you still have some balance left from the gold coins. Ishana replied, I still have 1 gold coin in my possession. Sanatana Goswami then said, take the coin and return to your home.
So that's going to end all the family issues, the house, the kids' education.
The 1 coin. I mean, for Ishan.
Yeah.
But it's also is that he brought the 8 coins, which was dangerous, and then he told him he had 7.
Yes.
But then the landlord said, I knew you had 8. You know, and it was with the servant. So then he asked him, so do you have more? Once they're already over there, then, okay, now you take that coin and go back. 220:36-44. After departing from Ishana, Sanatana Goswami began traveling alone with a water pot in his hand. Simply covered with a torn quilt, he was lost. He thus lost all his anxiety because, you know, who's going to bother the mendicant, right? Walking and walking, Sanatana Goswami finally arrived at a place called Hajipur. That evening, he sat down within a garden. In Hajipur, there was a gentleman named Srikanta, who happened to be the husband of Sanatana Goswami's sister. He was engaged there in government service. Srikanta had 300,000 gold coins with him. Yeah, and so they were thinking, wow, 10,000 gold coins, and he's got 300,000.
I mean, this guy was 8 gold coins.
Yeah, and he was like that, you know, and Ishan was holding on to 1, you know what I mean, yeah. So 300,000. So 10,000 is what was he kept for emergency. So that means technically 40,000. If you're starting, isn't it?
Yeah.
It'd be 40,000. That's a lot of gold coins. He's got 300,000. Which had been given to him by the emperor for the purchase of horses. Oh, he's supposed to do something. It's not his. He's supposed to buy horses.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, wait a minute. Okay. I was just thinking, wow, Thus, Srikanta was buying horses and dispatching them to the emperor. When Srikanta was sitting in an elevated place, he could see Sanatana Goswami. That night, he took a servant and went to see Sanatana Goswami. When they met, they had many conversations. Sanatana Goswami told him in detail about his arrest and released. Srikanta then told Sanatana Goswami, stay here for at least 2 days and dress up like a gentleman. Abandon these dirty garments. Sanatana Goswami replied, I shall not stay here even for a moment. Please help me cross the Ganges, right? Because he just wants to keep going, because he wants to get out of, you know, the area. I shall leave immediately. With great care, Srikanta gave him a wooden woolen blanket and helped him cross the Ganges. Thus, Sanatana Goswami departed again. 2:20 to 2:45. Oh, 2:20, 2:20:45. After a few days, Sanatana Goswami arrived at Varanasi. He was very pleased to hear about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's arrival there. Verses 46 to 93. A lesson in detachment. 2:20, 46 to 57. Sanatana Goswami then went to the house of Chandrasekhara and sat down by the door. Understanding what was happening, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke to Chandrasekhara. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, there is a devotee at your door. Please call him in. Going outside, Chandrasekhara could not see a Vaishnava at his door. When Chandrasekhara informed the Lord that no Vaishnava was at his door, the Lord asked him, is there anyone at all at your door? Chandrasekhara replied, there is a Muslim mendicant. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately said, please bring him here. Chandrasekhara then spoke to Sanatana Goswami, who was still standing beside the door.
So, he appeared as a Muslim mendicant, which means the way he dressed or his beard? Or...
Yeah, it'd probably be the beard and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, because point is he has rags on, he may have a chadar and all that, but he still has the Muslim look to him.
Mm-hmm.
Chandrasekhara then spoke to Sanatana Goswami, who was still sitting by the door. Oh, Muslim mendicant, please come in. The Lord is calling you. Sanatana Goswami was very pleased to hear this order, and he entered Chandrasekhara's house. As soon as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw Sanatana Goswami in the courtyard, he immediately went up to him with great haste. After embracing him, the Lord was overwhelmed with ecstatic love. As soon as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu touched Sanatana Goswami, Sanatana was also overwhelmed with ecstatic love. In a faltering voice, he said, O my Lord, do not touch me. Shoulder to shoulder, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sanatana Goswami began to cry unlimitedly. Chandrasekhara was very much astonished to see this. Catching his hand, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took Sanatana Goswami inside and made him sit on an elevated place next to him. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began cleansing Sanatana Goswami's body with his own transcendental hand, Sanatana Goswami said, Oh my Lord, please do not touch me. The Lord replied, I am touching you just to purify myself, because by the force of your devotional service you can purify the whole universe. Quote, saints of your caliber are themselves places of pilgrimage. Because of their purity, they are constant companions of the Lord, and therefore they can purify even the places of pilgrimage. Srila Prabhupada. This verse was spoken by Maharaj Yudhishthira to Vidura in Srimad Bhagavatam 1:13:10. Vidura was returning home after visiting sacred places of pilgrimage, and Maharaj Yudhishthira was receiving his saintly uncle. In essence, Maharaj Yudhishthira was saying, My dear Lord Vidura, you yourself are a holy place because you are an advanced devotee. People like you always carry Lord Vishnu in their hearts. You can revitalize all holy places after they have been polluted by the pilgrims of sinners. Pilgrimages of sinners. A sinful person goes to a holy place of pilgrimage to be purified. In a holy place, there are many saintly people and temples of Lord Vishnu. However, the holy place becomes infected with the sins of many visitors. When an advanced devotee goes to a holy place, he counteracts all the sins of the pilgrims. Therefore, Maharaj Yudhishthira addressed Vidura in this way. Since an advanced Vaishnava devotee carries Lord Vishnu within his heart, he is a moving temple and a moving Vishnu. Right? Because Vishnu is in his heart, so therefore he's moving, Vishnu is moving along with him. An advanced devotee does not need to go to holy places, for wherever he stays is a holy place. In this connection, Narottam Das Thakur states, Tirtha Yatra Parishrama Kevala Manera Brahma. Visiting holy places is simply another type of bewilderment. Since an advanced devotee does not need to go to a holy place, why does he go? The answer is that he goes simply to purify the place. Mm-hmm. 220, 58 to 59. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued quoting, "Even though a person is a very learned scholar of the Sanskrit Vedic literatures, he is not accepted as my devotee unless he is pure in devotional service. However, even though a person is born in a family of dog eaters, he is very dear to me. If he is a pure devotee, who has no motive to enjoy fruit of activity or mental speculation, indeed, all respect should be given to him, and whatever he offers should be accepted. Such devotees are as worshipable as I am." 43. This verse is included in the Hari Bhakti Vilas 10.127, compiled by Sanatana Goswami. One may be born in a Brahmin family and have all the 12 Brahminical qualities, but if he is not devoted to the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, who has a navel shaped like a lotus, he is not as good as a chandala who has dedicated his mind, words, activities, wealth, and life to the service of the Lord. Simply to take birth in a Brahmin family or to have Brahminical qualities is not sufficient. One must become a pure devotee of the Lord. If a swapacha or chandala is a devotee, he delivers not only himself but his whole family. Whereas a brahmana, who is not a devotee, but simply has Brahminical qualifications, cannot even purify himself, what to speak of his family. End quote. Srila Prabhupada, this verse was spoken by Prahlad Maharaj in Srimad Bhagavatam 7.9.10. A brahmana is supposed to be qualified with 12 qualities, as stated in the Mahabharata. Dharmas cha, satyam cha, dhammas tapas cha. Amat saryam hris titikshanu suya. Yagyas cha, danam cha, driti shrutim shutam cha. Vratani vai dvarasa brahmanasya. A Brahman must be perfectly religious. He must be truthful, and he must be able to control his senses. He must execute severe austerities, and he must be detached, humble, and tolerant. He must not envy anyone, and he must be expert in performing sacrifices and giving whatever he has in charity. He must be fixed in devotional service and expert in the knowledge of the Vedas. These are the 12 qualifications for a brahmana. In Bhagavad Gita 18.42, describes the Brahminical qualities in this way. Samo dhammas tapas saucham shantir arjavam eva cha jnanam vijnanam astikyam brahma karma svabhavacham. Peacefulness, self-control, austerity, purity, tolerance, honesty, knowledge, wisdom, and religiousness. These are the natural qualities by which the Brahmins work. Right? So you're doing work by qualities. It's not knowledge and skill. Knowledge and skill is used to apply the work through those qualities. But the qualities are the main thing. Right? So even if your skill is less, if you have the qualities, you're still a proper Brahmin. Like we have that example of that Brahmin that Lord Chaitanya met that couldn't read. But he was following the order of his guru. So he then is a greater Brahmin than all those scholars who were around him who were scoffing at him. Right? So it's the qualities in Brahmins and Kshatriyas that are specifically important. And you see in devotees, because then they're naturally Brahmins. So that then becomes the important element. With that, you perform your activities. In the Mukta Phalaktika, it is said, Samo dhammas tapasau cham Shantyarjava viraktaya Jnana vijnana santosha Satyastikye dvishad guna. Mental equilibrium, sense control, austerity, cleanliness, tolerance, simplicity, detachment, theoretical and practical knowledge, right? The two have to go together. Satisfaction, truthfulness, and firm faith in the Vedas are the 12 qualities of a Brahmana. 20, 60 to 63. Yeah, satisfaction. Because otherwise, if you're not satisfied, you always have to get more and more to do that. Then you're going to be doing less of these 12. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, by seeing you, by touching you, and by glorifying your transcendental qualities, One can perfect the purpose of all sense activity. This is the verdict of the revealed scriptures. My dear Vaishnava, seeing a person like you is the perfection of one's eyesight. Touching your lotus feet is the perfection of the sense of touch. And glorifying your good qualities is the tongue's real activity. For in the material world, it is very difficult to find a pure devotee of the Lord. Footnote 44. Hari Bhakti Sutra Joya 13.2. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, My dear Sanatana, please hear from me. Krishna is very merciful, and he is the deliverer of all fallen souls. My dear Sanatana, Krishna has saved you from Maharaurava, life's deepest hell. He is an ocean of mercy, and his activities are very grave. Srila Prabhupada, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita 1861, Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Hriday Sherjuna Tishtati. Staying within everyone's heart, Lord Krishna works very gravely. No one can understand how he is working, but as soon as the Lord understands the sincere activity of a person in devotional service, he helps them in such a way that the devotee cannot understand how things are happening. The devotee is determined to serve the Lord is always prepared to help him. Didami buddhi yogam tam, yena mam upayanti te. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is telling Sanatana Goswami how merciful the Lord is. Sanatana Goswami was a minister in the service of Nawab Hussain Shah. He was always mixing with materially inclined people, particularly with Muslims, meat eaters. Although he was in intimate touch with them by Krishna's mercy, he came to find such association distasteful. Therefore, he left them. As stated by Srivas Acharya, Chakva Turnam Asesha Mandalapati Shreinim Sada Tuchavat. Krishna enlightened Sanatana Goswami in such a way that he was able to give up his exalted post as minister, thinking his post, material post, insignificant. Sanatana was prepared to become a mendicant. Appreciating the activities of Sanatana Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu praised his action and thanked Krishna for his mercy upon him. So he had the position and all that, and he left that because it was no taste. It didn't support his service. It means if you're in a position, one has that nature, you want to be involved, you know, in these things and be involved in Krishna consciousness. Yes, you engage the position and everything very nicely. But at the same time, as we see that for the Goswamis, they wanted to be fully absorbed, and so they didn't stay in those positions. Right? So that's their unique contribution there.
It's interesting that even though they gave up such important positions, they still use their expertise for engaging others and building temples.
Yes. It means that whatever it has, you use it. But you don't need the position, you don't need the thing. If these skills are important, then you can use them. You don't need the title if the skill is actually important. You know, like that. Because one can say the titles are important, and you might find some situations, but the point is if someone is very renowned, it has nothing to do with that. You know, you even have, you know, that I say that the quirky guru from South India, he's over in America, he's doing fabulous over there. You like that? And, it doesn't mean, it's like, if someone's there, you know, someone's the local priest or the bishop and that, you don't ask what's his, you know, material degrees. You know, somebody says, he has something, he uses it, nice.
I've heard many times devotees who don't feel satisfied. You know, they have the capability to do something, they've got the influence to do something, they know exactly what needs to be done, and unless they're given the position, they don't have.
That's there, but then if they can be steady in with that position and all that, and in that way advance, then at some point then they'll give up the need for that position. But they get the position and do nothing, then what's the point? You know, you engage them according to the nature. But yes, it takes it's a more advanced position, because now everyone talks about position as if it's the important thing, and so who wants to do something without that authority? You know, because others are very happy to have the position and have someone else do the work. While previously, it's just everybody did the work. You didn't worry about positions. You know, so it goes both ways. It's, yeah, no one wants to do without a position, but people in position don't want to do the work and are happy to get someone else to do it for them. So it goes both ways.
That's true.
You know, so that's the thing, is it's about pleasing Krishna. You do the best you can. Thinking his material position insignificant, Sanatana was prepared to become a mendicant. Appreciating the activities of Sanatana Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu praised his action and thanked Krishna for his mercy upon him. Sanatana replied, "I do not know who Krishna is. As far as I am concerned, I have been released from prison only by your mercy." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then asked Sanatana Goswami, "How were you released from prison?" Sanatana then described the story from beginning to end. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "I have met your two brothers, Rupa and Anupam, at Prayag. They have now gone to Vrindavan." By the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sanatana Goswami met both Tapan Mishra and Chandrasekhar. Tapan Mishra then extended an invitation to Sanatana, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Sanatana to go get a shave. So, even the Lord wants people to get shaved when it gets a little out of hand. So you can't say, oh, that's being fanatic. I mean, if God does it, then...
That's where the story comes from. The Prabhupada was giving a class of darshan to the devotees in San Francisco. Lord Chaitanya came to save you. And then the devotees understood, he came to shave you. So he says, he came to save you and he came to shave you. Because of the accent.
Yeah. That's funny. That's funny. Did they go out and shave? Yeah? Okay. That it worked. Otherwise, because that lot was quite fuzzy. The San Francisco lot. After this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called Chandrasekhar and asked him to take Sanatana Goswami with him. He also asked him to take away Sanatana's present dress. Chandrasekhar then made Sanatana Goswami look like a gentleman. He took him to bathe in the Ganges, and afterwards he brought him a new set of clothes. Srila Prabhupada. The words Bhadra Karana are significant in this verse. Due to his long hair, mustache, and beard, Sanatana Goswami looked like a Dardavesh, or hippie. That's so funny. So one place he's saying about, yes, you know, and nowadays, you know, Prabhupada was talking that, you know, in the American environment, because there's so much in materialism, people have gone crazy now, and like that, you know, otherwise known as hippies. So he was not ashamed of calling the hippies, you know, as they were, you know, they were crazy and unkempt and everything. Since Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not like Sanatana Goswami's hippie features, he immediately asked Chandrasekhar to get him shaved clean. If anyone with long hair or beard wants to join this Krishna conscious movement and live with us, he must similarly shave himself clean. The followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu consider long hair objectionable. Right? So it's right there. It's not the, oh no, but people might like, that's you want to live with us, that's what you do. You want to live in your place, then you know, you look like Cousin It. We don't care. You know Cousin It? No. He's about this big and he has hair down to the ground. You can't see him. Where is he from? I think they live in Jersey. He can explain later.
I don't know.
You don't know either. You don't know? Nobody knows Cousin Nip? Oh my God. Too old.
It's not important.
Okay.
Deprived
us. Sanatan Goswami was saved from a hellish condition, Maharaurava, by the grace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Maharaurava is a hell wherein animal killers are placed. Right, so because he was living with animal killers and all that, then you will tend by association to have the same environment. So therefore then, you know, Krishna saved him. 220, 71 to 81. Chandrasekhar offered a new set of garments to Sanatana Goswami, but Sanatana did not accept them. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard news of this, he became unlimitedly happy. After bathing at noon, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to the house of Tapan Misra for lunch. He took Sanatana Goswami with him. After washing his feet, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sat down for lunch. He asked Tapan Misra to supply Sanatana Goswami lunch also. Tapan Misra then said, Sanatana has some duty to perform. Therefore, he cannot accept lunch now. At the conclusion of the meal, I shall supply Sanatana with some remnants. After eating, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took rest for a while. Tapan Misra then gave Sanatana Goswami the remnants of food left by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Tapan Misra offered Sanatana Goswami a new cloth, he did not accept it. Instead, he spoke as follows. If you want to give me some cloth according to your desire, please give me an old cloth you have used. When Tapan Misra gave Sanatana Goswami a used dhoti, Sanatana immediately tore it into pieces to make two sets of outer cloth and underwear. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu introduced the from that he gets his underwear, and then because that then he said, what is it? Two sets. Yeah, so that means four copans and then two whatever's left. You know, so that wide it probably wouldn't be used that way, but you might, depending on that, or you'll run live this way and he end up with shorter, you know, whatever he ended up with. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu introduced the Maharashtrian Brahmin to Sanatana, the Brahmana immediately invited Sanatana for full meals.
So, I mean, you just ripped the dhoti and make copies, now he's going for a big meal.
Yeah. For full meals, not snacks. Because also you invite Brahmins, and it can also be that you're inviting them, and it's just, anakalpa. That's very standard. You don't know the people in that. Then it'll be non-grains, uncooked, you know, fruits and that, like that kind of thing. You can give milk also or like that. The Brahmin said, "My dear Sanatana, as long as you remain at Kashi, please accept lunch at my place." Sanatana replied, "I shall practice the process of Madhukari. Why should I accept full meals in the house of a Brahmana?" Right? So... Yes, so then he's going for Madhukari, and he took an old cloth and then did like that. Srila Prabhupada. The word Madhukari comes from the word Madhukara, which refers to bees collecting honey from flower to flower. A Madhukari is a saintly person or a mendicant who does not accept a full meal at one house but begs from door to door, taking a little food from each householder's place. In this way, he does not overeat or give householders unnecessary trouble. A person in the renounced order may beg but not cook. His begging should not be a burden for the householders. Right? So that's why also Amano mentions that the mendicants, that they go after the meal time. The Brahmins, the Brahmacharis, the Vanaprastas, they go before the meal time. They're supposed to go because for the householder, they're supposed to give something to the Brahmins and that beforehand. Then afterward, make the offering, then offer to those who are needing, and then after that they may eat. But here the sannyasi, he waits until after he sees that there's no more smoke coming from the kitchen. Because that means everybody's eaten, they've stopped. So whatever's left, that's not a burden. Like that. Does that make sense? Yeah. That's for them. Means the brahmacharis may also be going before, and that may be also Madhukari. They take a little bit, but they doesn't take a meal. But what he's saying here is that because they may do Madhukari, but here's Madhukari and doesn't give any. So that's the sannyasi will therefore go in the afternoon. You know, so that means like 2-3 o'clock, like that. You know, you finish feeding everybody. The ladies of house have eaten. You know, everyone's rested a little bit. Now they're up. Then you can go and beg. So they're also eating later. So the first ones are eating at the midday. And they're eating at the next one. So it's a little bit more austere. The Madhukari process is strictly to be followed by a Babaji, that is, one who has attained the Paramhamsa stage. This practice is still current in Vrindavan. There are many places where alms are offered. Unfortunately, there are many beggars who have come to Vrindavan to accept alms but not follow the principles of Sanatana Goswami. People try to imitate him and lead an idle life by practicing Madhukari. It is almost impossible to strictly follow Sanatana Goswami or Rupa Goswami. It is better to accept food offered to Krishna in the temple than to try to imitate Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami. Yuktahara viharasya yukta chetasya karmasu yukta swapna vabhodhasya yogo bhavati dukkha. He who has regulated his habits of eating, sleeping, recreation, and work can mitigate all material pains by practicing the yoga system. Bhagavad Gita 6:17. So that's the important element, is that everything's regulated. That's the whole point of the Vedic system, is to regulate. So all the rules and regulations are showing you how to regulate, but that regulation will still give you good results. Because otherwise, if you make up your own, they may not give necessarily good results. You know, so that's the whole point. It has to be something that's not going to, it's not going to bother others, it's not going to bother yourself, it's not going to bother the Lord. You know, that's the whole point. So to know all that, that's why the Vedic literatures give that. So this is the principle that you're going for. Like that. Does that make sense? Yeah. The ideal sannyasi strictly follows the ways practiced by the Goswamis. 220, 82 to 92. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt unlimited happiness to observe Sanatana Goswami's strict following of the principles of sannyas. However, he repeatedly glanced at the woolen blanket Sanatana Goswami was wearing. Remember, because his Srikanta gave him that blanket. And, you know, somebody who does that kind of job, most likely it was a good blanket. Because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is repeatedly glancing at this valuable woolen blanket, Sanatana Goswami could understand that the Lord did not approve of it. He then began to consider a way to give it up. Thinking in this way, Sanatana went to the bank of the Ganges to bathe. While there, he saw that a mendicant from Bengal was washing his quilt and spread it out to dry. Sanatana Goswami then told the Bengali mendicant, "My dear brother, please do me a favor. Trade me your quilt for this woolen blanket." The mendicant replied, "Sir, you are a respectable gentleman. Why are you joking with me? Why would you trade your valuable blanket for my torn quilt?" Sanatana said, "I am not joking. I'm speaking the truth. Kindly take this blanket in exchange for your torn quilt." Saying this, Sanatana Goswami exchanged the blanket for the quilt. He then returned to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with the quilt on his shoulder. When Sanatana Goswami returned, the Lord said, "Where is your woolen blanket?" Sanatana Goswami then narrated the whole story to the Lord. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then said, "I have already deliberately considered this matter. Since Lord Krishna is very merciful, he has nullified your attachment for material things. Why should Krishna allow you to maintain a last bit of material attachment? After vanquishing a disease, a good physician does not allow any of the disease to remain. It is contrary to practice. It is contrary to practice Madhukari at the same time wear a valuable blanket. One loses his spiritual strength by doing this, and one will also become an object of jokes." Right? You know, so that means it must be, you know, when he says valuable blanket, it means it has to be something of very good quality. Like that. You know, so. Udriti, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Chapter 2. "Where is your valuable blanket?" The Lord immediately inquired. Sanatana informed him about the exchange, and the Lord loved him for this and thanked him. "You are intelligent enough, and you have now exhausted all your attraction for material wealth." In other words, the Lord accepts a person for devotional service only when he is completely freed from all materialistic possessions. The Lord then told Sanatana, It would not look good for you to be a mendicant and beg from door to door with such a valuable blanket on your body. It is contradictory, and people would look on it with abhorrence." 220.93. Sanatana Goswami replied, "The Supreme Personality of Godhead has saved me from the sinful life of material existence. By his desire, my last piece of material attraction is now gone." Verses 94 to 148. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructs Srila Sanatana Goswami, 220, 94 to 99. Being pleased with Sanatana Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bestowed his causeless mercy upon him. By the Lord's mercy, Sanatana Goswami received the spiritual strength to inquire from him. Formerly, Sri Chaitanya, so you even to inquire, to have that determination, to have that desire, that's still also by the Lord's grace.
Yes.
Like that. It's not because I'm intelligent. No, it's because of him. Formerly, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had asked Ramananda Rai spiritual questions, and by the Lord's causeless mercy, Ramananda Rai could properly reply. Now, by the Lord's mercy, Sanatana Goswami questioned the Lord, right? So now it's the other way around. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally supplied the truth. But in either case, to either ask the proper question or to give the proper answer is still by the Lord's grace.
Mm-hmm.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, personally told Sanatana Goswami about Lord Krishna's real identity. He also told him about the Lord's conjugal love, his personal opulence, and the mellows of devotional service. All these truths were explained to Sanatana Goswami by the Lord himself out of his causeless mercy. Putting a straw in his mouth and bowing down, Sanatana Goswami clasped the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and humbly spoke as follows. Sanatana Goswami said, "I was born in a low family, and my associates are all low-class men. I myself am fallen and am the lowest of men. Indeed, I have passed my whole life fallen in the well of sinful materialism." Srila Prabhupada. Actually, Sri Sanatana Goswami belonged to a Brahmin family because he belonged to the Saraswata division of the Brahmanas and was well-cultured and well-educated. Somehow or other, he accepted a ministership in the Muslim government. Therefore, he had to associate with meat-eaters, drunkards, and gross materialists. Sanatana Goswami considered himself fallen, for in the association of such men, he also fell victim to material enjoyment. Having passed his life in that way, he considered that he had wasted his valuable time. This statement about how one can become fallen in this material world is made by the greatest authority in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. Actually, the whole world is presently fallen into material existence. Everyone is a meat-eater, drunkard, woman-hunter, gambler, and whatnot. People are enjoying material life by committing the four basic sins. Although they are fallen, they simply submit themselves at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they will be saved from all sinful reactions. So it's interesting. He's the greatest authority. Then we follow that great authority by what Rupa Goswami has then given. And then we are able to appreciate Rupa Goswami by what Jiva Goswami has given. And then that, we appreciate all that by what Srila Prabhupada has given. Okay. So then, in this way, servant of the servant of the servant. Srila Sanatana Goswami continued, "I do not know what is beneficial for me or what is detrimental. Nonetheless, in ordinary dealings, people consider me a learned scholar. And I am also thinking of myself as such." You know, as he mentioned, Prabhupada mentioned before, as you tell someone that they're great, then they naturally think, yes. You know? "Out of your causeless mercy, you have delivered me from the materialistic path. Now by the same causeless mercy, please tell me what my duty is, who I am. Why do the threefold miseries always give me trouble? If I do not know this, how can I be benefited?" Srila Prabhupada, "The threefold material miseries are miseries arising from the body and the mind, miseries arising from dealings with other living entities, and miseries arising from natural disturbances. Sometimes we suffer bodily when we are attacked by a fever. And sometimes we suffer mentally when a close relative dies. Other living entities also cause us misery. There are living entities born in the human embryo of eggs, perspiration, and vegetation. Miserable conditions brought about by natural catastrophes are controlled by the higher demigods. There may be severe cold or thunderbolts, or a person may be haunted by ghosts. These threefold miseries are always before us. And they entrap us in a dangerous situation. Padam padam yat vipadam. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.58. There is a danger in every step of life. Udriti, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Chapter 3. Sanatana's inquiry was therefore an intelligent one. Quote, what is the position of the living entities? End quote, he asked. Why are they always undergoing these three kinds of miseries? Sanatana had admitted his weakness. Although he was known by the masses of people as a greatly learned man, and actually he was a highly learned Sanskrit scholar, and although he accepted this designation, he did not actually know what his constitutional position really was, and just why he was subjected to the threefold miseries. So even you are educated, if you don't apply it into self-realization, then it doesn't have the benefit.
What we see here, Maharaj, actually, it's a display of power. It's the attitude of Sanatana Goswami to win Lord Chaitanya's heart. He is learned, but he presents himself. I don't know anything. People call me Pandit, but I don't even know who I am.
Yes.
That's the qualification for hearing right there.
Yes, yes. Very good. And also we see is that all other knowledge other than what is your, who are you and your relationship with the Lord and how to act in that relationship, then is not actual knowledge. So he's accepted as a pundit from others because of his knowledge in Sanskrit and that, but he's saying, I'm uneducated because I don't actually know who I am. Like that. So that's why when we see Sanatana Goswami, and he's, you know, as Prabhupada said, the greatest authority in the Gaudiya line. And so there, then, so we shouldn't start with the upadhi of, you know, our bodily position and all these things like that. That has to be last consideration. The first one is, who am I? What am I supposed to do? What are my duties? Why am I suffering here? Then you can consider, okay, within my duties, how does that apply to oneself and one position you're in? But if you start with that upadhi and that's the basis, then you have it, it's backwards. And you're not. It means people, yes, people may accept you as an educated person, but an educated person won't start that way. They'll start the other way.
That's the difference between Sanatana Goswami and
Vallabhabha. Well, yeah, Vallabhabha, yes, because he wanted to establish that position of him being a qualified Brahmin and these kind of things. And, you know, he associated with Lord Chaitanya, he was following, so many qualifications, but he was still holding on to that position. So that will be weak. You won't be able to go as far as here the Goswamis. Because you see, is that when you're dealing with Kevala Bhakti, then it's that pure unalloyed devotion. Then one has to take things farther, and so then it wasn't being taken farther in that situation.
I was reading to their conversation just a short between Sri Prabhupada Chaitanya Maharaj and Tamakrishna Maharaj. We were discussing Srinath Ji, the Gopal Bidhi. And Prabhupada explained, he says, he knew a few things, but he was not very good. He was learned, but he had no rati for Krishna, so his bhakti didn't go very well.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that to the... I wouldn't go to the temple there and make an announcement of that. Pass out pamphlets, leaflets, Yeah. No, because these things are theirs, because what we're talking about, it may be very advanced on one level, but then when we're talking about it's rati, that's the beginning, that's where things get serious. That there's an attraction, but when that rati in the association of the pure devotees, that then takes on. That then matures into prema. So that's what you're once trying to do, is develop that rati and bring it to prema. Then one's situated nicely. That's the position. So that's why, even though it's a bona fide position, the Shantarasa, you see, as Lord Chaitanya explains it, because it's the basis of spiritual life. But at the same time, immediately brings it on, but it won't be, the position is not as strong as one who adds service to that, practical service. So then that's the position. So Yeah. 220, 103 to 108. Srila Sanatana Goswami concluded, actually, I do not know how to inquire about the goal of life and the process for obtaining it, because you have to know something to be able to inquire. Being merciful upon me, please explain all these truths. That's why you see is that he was Lord Chaitanya. By his mercy, he's able to ask all the right questions. But that. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Lord Krishna has bestowed his full mercy upon you so that these things are known to you. Because with instructions comes the ability to understand, the ability to apply. Like, so someone says, oh, we can't understand these and that. No, with the instruction comes that. The chit potency is there. You just have to have that faith and surrender and take that, and then try to use your intelligence how to apply it. That's what you're saying. The head is faith. Then, you know, the left arm is the knowledge and skills you have to try to like that you try to use to apply to come to the Siddhanta. Then your platform of sadhana is strong. But if you just say, oh, you know, you can't, no, you have to apply. You have to try. Since you possess, okay, for you the threefold miseries certainly do not exist. Since you possess Lord Krishna's potency, you certainly know these things. However, it is the nature of a sadhu to inquire. Although he knows these things, the sadhu inquires for the sake of strictness. Quote, those who are eager to awaken their spiritual consciousness and thus have unflinching, undeviated intelligence certainly attain the desired goal of life very soon. Footnote 45. This verse quoted from the Naradiya Purana is found in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1-2-103. Okay, so thank you. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki Jai.